Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Back from the border. I'm heading back to the border again. That's what I've been doing. Just watching this crisis again explode at our U.S. southern border. I'm going to be talking to you about that. I'm going to be talking to you about really important subject here that we all have to, you know, face is this censorship in America. I know we can't believe it. I never thought that in America we would have to deal with this. In the land of the free, the home of the brave, land of liberty, we are now dealing with people that are self-censoring, people that want to burn books. I call it the leftist, the rise of the leftist socialist communist regime in America. And it's something that we have to be very careful of. I'm going to be going into that, all of that, with Martin Avila. If you don't know who he is, you should. He's the CEO of RightForge, and he absolutely believes that we need a new infrastructure, especially a new internet technology infrastructure that can host anybody and everybody in America that it can, so that they are not censored, so that we are not censored, so that we are free. I know all of you out there must be like me. The reason we go to war, the reason we protect this nation, is to basically protect those essential freedoms, those freedoms that make us different from every other nation on earth, to protect our freedom here at home. And there are so many people here that are now giving it away. And we're going to tell you who they are. Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, Sundar Pichai, all of these guys. You are going to be held accountable for what you are doing to this country, because we really cannot remain silent. We have to point this out. We have to find other avenues. There's a lot going on here. There's so much that we need to talk about. But first, I want you, wherever you get your podcast, go ahead and leave a review. Talk to us. Let us know what you're thinking, whether that's on YouTube or Rumble or Facebook, which sometimes censors, or Twitter. Wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you go to social media, let us know how you feel. Leave those reviews. We will go through them. We will pick out the best ones. We'll read them here on the air. Sometimes that's what we do. And a lot of times we just look at what stories interest you the most. And that's what we do. We find those stories and we bring them to you here from the Sarah Carter Show. And remember, you can get all the links at sarahcarter.com. And while you are there, sign up for our email list. Remember, this is a time of censorship. We don't want this to happen, okay? We don't want to be trapped in the land of censorship. What I would love for you to do is to get out there and get on my website and then sign up for the email list. And this way we can reach you every week. We can show you what the latest stories are at sarahcarter.com. We can talk to you about our latest podcasts. We can get those podcasts out to you. So if we are censored, which we have been shadow banned here and there on Facebook as well as Twitter, if we are censored, you will not lose touch with us and we will not lose touch with you. That's important. Now, when I talk about organizations that support this podcast, I always talk about AMAC. AMAC is so important. It's the Association of Mature American Citizens. It is the fastest growing conservative 50 plus organization in America, folks. AMAC believes in the values that have made America so great: faith, family, and freedom. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, but without that liberal agenda. You know, that one that AARP always tries to shove down your throat? AMAC does not do that. I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's amac.us/Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. You will not regret it. Let's talk about the crisis on the border. I spent the last week in McAllen, Texas, on the Rio Grande. By the way, I got a shout out to the RGV sector, to the Border Patrol agents and RGV, to the law enforcement officials and RGV. What an amazing job you have done. What an amazing job you do every single day. Our federal law enforcement officials put themselves on the line, and they are doing it every single day. I saw it with my own eyes, and I've been covering this since, my gosh, since the early 2000s, believe it or not, 2006, 2007. I was there in 2014 on the border when all of the unaccompanied minors were rushing through. These are the young children, young kids under the age of 18, traveling to the border alone without parents. And our Border Patrol agents on the front line are the first people they come into contact with in America. And believe me, they are doing everything they can for these young people. And this, I got to tell you, it's healthcare. It's mental health care. You can't imagine what some of these children have been through. You cannot imagine. And this is something that we, as a community, as a nation, we all have to pay attention to. And it is perpetuated by horrific policies that the Biden administration has in place right now. We are seeing an increase of women and children. We are seeing an increase in what they call family units, because they have all been told by the drug cartels and these human trafficking organizations that basically Biden has given them 100 days. You know, Biden has stopped deportations now. It's a 100-day kind of stopgap measure, just letting people in. We're going to let these people in. And because they're children, right, they're not deporting them. So this is the little trick, right? This is the little loophole. So what happens is adults who want to come into the country will literally rent children sometimes and make it seem like they're their own. And these kids are circulated in and out of the border multiple times. So they are completely abused. I'm going to tell you that straight up. These children, some of them are traveling 3 months to get to the United States, and they're just hoping that they'll find family here. Others are just maybe coming with an uncle, coming with an aunt, just hoping to get them in. And they'll say, oh, you know, these are my kids. I'm the guardian. So that way they don't get deported, right? This is another way of not getting deported or sent back. I spoke with a group of children that had come through from Honduras. There are kids coming from all over the world, and there are people coming from all over the world. I know the majority that we're seeing right now is from Central America. We got a lot of folks from El Salvador, a lot of folks from Honduras, a lot of folks from Guatemala and Mexico. That does appear to be the majority of people traversing into the U.S. border. But I can tell you this. I know that people from Pakistan have crossed in recently, people from Afghanistan, a lot of gypsies from Romania. Think about that. People from all over the world. And guess what? When they get here, the majority of them too, just basically they lose their IDs. That's it. They don't have them on them. You know why? Or they forward their identification and then they pretend like they lost it, because this way you can't send them back that easily. Think about it. If I'm a Romanian gypsy, right? And I'm coming in illegally through the border, and a lot of times people are sent here to work. There's a lot of interesting stories here, in-depth stories that you may not be aware of. And I'm talking about gypsies. A lot of gypsies come in. They know they're going to get kicked out in a year. They're set up to work inside the system. They're going to collect money. This is just one little side story of the border that I'm talking about. But let's say I lose my identification. How are you going to know who I am? If I say I'm a Romanian gypsy, I'm here in the United States now, where are you going to deport me to? Back to Romania? Think about it. How are you going to do that if you're an adjudicator for Immigration and Customs Enforcement? Yeah, I got a guy here. He says his name's this. He's from Romania, or he's from Georgia, or he's from, and I'm talking Georgia, the country, or, you know, from wherever. It doesn't matter where, Bangladesh. If I don't have identifiers on me, then you have to contact the Romanian consulate. You got to contact the people in Romania. They have to figure out if you really exist in their database. That could take weeks, months. If you're not in an Interpol database, you're not a terrorist, you're not wanted, you don't have a criminal record, you're just somebody who exists without an identification, and I just got to rely on you. And guess what? A lot of people, almost every single person, is being kicked free into the country with a report to court date. That's what happens. You got to report to court to file your asylum claim. And when we set people free inside the United States, whether they are from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Romania, Pakistan, India, As long as they are not a known terror threat, well, they're usually just kicked free. They're put on a bus. They're sent on an airplane. Bye-bye. See you later. Sayonara. Hope you come to court. And they don't usually ever show up. They don't. Some of them do, but the majority of people don't. And what about the people that came here legally? You know how frustrated they are? But I want to talk to you a little bit about those children. And I want you to think about, when you look at your own kids, when you look at your own children, imagine you're 7 years old and you're leaving Honduras with a group of preteens and maybe one teenager, and you're on the road for 3 months and you're alone and you're hungry and you are being trafficked. And maybe your uncle had you go. Maybe someone else had you go. Maybe your parents paid some money to have a trafficker bring you up to the border. Maybe you're a 13-year-old girl, like I saw, and you're traveling with a bunch of boys. What do you think happens on this journey? I don't need to explain it to you in detail. There are predators out there, and these children are abused. And these children, if they're even the trip itself is so dangerous. Just look at your own child. I have my youngest is 8. There was a boy that was 7 years old that was traveling alone. And I asked them, I said, what was it like? They said it was dangerous. They said they were very hungry. They were very thirsty most of the time. I said, where'd you get your food? People on the street, at a church, water from a well, wherever they could get it, you know? And then they get on La Bestia, which is this big train that goes through Mexico. And La Bestia is just more of a manufacturing train, right? It carries product. It's big carts. And those carts, actually on top of them, on the big train carts, there are predators on these trains. And they go with the cargo and these children piled up on top. And sometimes the kids fall off. And the kids were telling me, you know what? We were so scared. Some of the children disappeared that they were traveling with. Other kids can fall off the train and they don't have identifiers on them. That means that a lot of these kids, we don't even know they exist. They may not even have a birth certificate. Our government, the Biden administration, is perpetuating this crisis with this terrible, terrible behavior. And I want you to know this isn't the, and policy. This isn't the only time. I saw this under the Bush administration. I saw this under Obama administration. And I didn't see it as much, at least not the rhetoric under President Trump's administration at all, because it's the rhetoric. That's what these cartels and human traffickers are using. I want you to listen to Jen Psaki. She's the White House spokeswoman. I want you to hear how she basically avoids calling the situation at the border a crisis. Listen to this.
Well, I would say I don't think we need to meet your bar of what we need to call it. We had the Secretary of Homeland Security yesterday conveying it's a challenge. We've provided numbers publicly about how serious that challenge is. We, of course, because we are approaching this humanely and we are approaching this in a way where we will keep the children safe in a great break with the past administration. And because we're doing this at a time of COVID, that is even more challenging because most of these facilities are at 40% capacity, hence the number of beds that are being utilized. But again, we're going to approach this without labeling. We're going to approach this with policy, with humanity, and with a focus on what we can do to keep these kids safe.
Humanity and policy, Jen Psaki, would be to enforce the laws that do not perpetuate this behavior. That's what would be humane, and that's what would be right. That is the right thing to do, is to put laws in place that do not perpetuate the trafficking of children to the United States. And it is a crisis. It is absolutely a crisis. It is not a challenge. In February, there are more than 100,000, is what Border Patrol believes, people apprehended along the U.S.-Mexico border. The month before, it was 78,000. They expect those numbers to increase exponentially in the next few months. This is a real crisis. And yes, there are a lot of people that are either diagnosed with COVID at the border by us. Yes, by us and by other groups. Or they're set free and have COVID. And now they're traveling in buses and airplanes all across America. So this is a very, very real crisis. Another big crisis that we are dealing with today is, of course, censorship and getting the truth out to the American people. And that's why I'm here. That's what the Sarah Carter Show and this podcast is all about. It's about getting the truth out. And that's why I have Martin Avila here. And he's going to explain why he believes we need to look at new infrastructures to build a new internet so that we don't lose those basic freedoms, so that there is a place to go, because we have to have some place to go. If this doesn't stop, if this continues, what do we do? How will we communicate with one another? I think it's going to be really interesting to hear what he has to say, why we need to stand up with this. We also have several very important House hearings coming up this month on censorship and the deadlines for documents from companies like Facebook and Twitter that Congress is investigating will be coming up as well, I believe, on March 18th. So we need to keep our eyes out for that. And I can't wait. You got to stick with us. That's why Martin Avila has been, invited to this show. He's the CEO of RightForge. But before I go to him, I want to talk to you about a product that is so awesome. I keep bragging about this. I tell my producers all the time, these are like now my favorite pants in the world, and they're from Tommy John, right? In 2021, loungewear isn't just for lounging. We need it for everything. I mean, I want to be able to sit here and do my podcast and then run off in my Tommy John loungewear and go be able to pick up a coffee or something at Starbucks if I have to in between shows or something. So this means you have to have the loungewear for every occasion. It's time to go pro with Tommy John men's and women's loungewear. You will not regret this. It's so good. It's perfectly comfortable. It's non-piling. It's micro model fabric, which means that there's no lint balls or fuzz on it ever. And the part that I like most is that it is super soft. It has a tri-blend fabric with four-way stretch. So not only is it soft, but it's stretchy and it just fits really nice. It's actually really cute. It's the same level of comfort and innovation that goes into everything Tommy John makes. I love everything they make, including over 13 million pairs of Tommy John underwear. That's just, wow, that's incredible. What a great company. Returns and exchanges are free. And right now you'll get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Carter. That's 20% off Tommy John loungewear, underwear, and bralettes at TommyJohn.com/Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, TommyJohn.com/Carter. See the site for details. And now, without any further delay, I've got Martin Avila here. He's the CEO of RightForge. It is a full-service technology infrastructure company specializing in high availability, cloud hosting, web development, managing and protecting online assets for companies, campaigns, and organizations who care about an open and free internet. We support and affirm the inherent rights of a free America, they say, and I support the inherent rights of Martin Avila to build such a great company. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's a big undertaking we're doing, but we're having a lot of fun. Thank you.
Oh, well, I can't wait to fill everyone in on this. I've been talking about you and bragging about you to everyone. Just incredible work, because we need freedom fighters. And I mean it in all the good ways. I don't mean like going out in the streets and fighting. I feel like I have to clarify that all the time, right?
Absolutely.
It's such a crazy world we live in now. Did you ever think America would reach this point? Like, I don't think I ever thought it would go this far.
Yeah, I didn't. A few years ago, started to get scared. The power of big tech when the Internet of Things really started taking hold, and when my buddy told me that he has a computer in his barbecue. Those are the types of things that I was, it makes you go, wait, the world is the internet now. And these companies don't live by the rules that the country right. was founded upon. And they're governed by profit. They're governed by their board of directors, whoever they're from. And, then you see things like the deplatforming and the censoring happening. And it's sad that we've reached this state, but I never thought I would get here. Frankly,
I think you brought up a really good point. I think for a lot of people, we don't think of technology the same way, because it just kind of creeps up on us, right? So we have a smart television or Amazon, we're talking to Alexa every day in our house, and we're not realizing that every little thing that we're doing and every time we bring in a new technology, that we're losing a little bit of our right to privacy, right? I mean, there's something there, but because we're Americans, we think, it can't happen to us. And over the last few years, what we've seen is companies like Facebook, company, you know, with Mark Zuckerberg, Twitter, you know, Jack Dorsey, others, they basically select what they want. I mean, they censor based on what they want. It's all selective, right? And it's gotten worse. And it's gotten to the point where we're kind of losing our freedom of speech. I want you to fill everyone in on what you're doing right now, how you believe we need it. By the way, incredible op-ed opinion piece in it was absolutely fantastic. In Newsweek. And I want you to fill us in on how you're looking at the future and how you can make this happen, building a complete new infrastructure for the web.
Yeah, well, I think that people need to first and foremost remember what the internet is, right? The internet is essentially two cups and a string. It's the actual foundational network that all of these companies live on top of. So when we used to make phone calls, you know, AT&T, you know, they had a lot of the fiber, you know, the optics, but you know, there's program, Google, Facebook, all these things, Amazon, even they have convinced us that they are the internet, and they're driven by profit to connect us with, just like you said, Amazon Alexa in our kitchens, the doorbell, you know, ring, even your thermostat, to continue to project their influence into our day-to-day lives. But at the end of the day, the internet is servers and interconnectivity between those servers. And so what we're doing is actually deploying the foundation of the internet and reaffirming the Bill of Rights on that platform. And from there, we will then grow and produce applications that will and products that will also reaffirm the American Foundation principles.
Well, it sounds like you're a lot like Elon Musk is, you know, trying to venture out into these new, no, really rethink the way we see things, right? And that's what's important here, is that you're being innovative so that we can rethink the way we handle the internet and the way we traverse the internet. How long do you think it'll take, and where are you at in that process?
So we're actually, we are live. So we have the server infrastructure. We are actively migrating websites and applications as we speak, taking on clients who are worried that, hey, I'm built on Amazon Web Services. I have a feature where users can speak their own mind. It's not that I would say something. It's that maybe one of my users would say something that Jack Dorsey or Jeff Bezos might find objectionable. So what we're seeing is a massive stream of people who are just simply looking to have and work with companies that affirm that we won't deplatform based off of what someone does on their platform. Now, we're going to follow all the laws.
Right.
You know, we'll comply with all the warrants.
Criminal activity, right?
Of course not.
And this is like the same thing that I try to tell people all the time. There isn't going to be any, I mean, and we can talk about like how horrible that can be on the dark web, right? But this is just, you're saying you just won't be deplatformed for thought.
Right. No, it's the idea that the internet is open and honest debate is enshrined in the Bill of Rights. That's, you know, that freedom is sometimes uncomfortable, you know, but that's how we get through discourse in a peaceful way, is through freedom of speech. And so we see this as a vital tool, not only for that, but also for commerce. I mean, the fact that a business, you know, might be deplatformed, and a trucking company, if their CEO says something that Jack Dorsey finds objectionable, or the big tech finds objectionable, you know, we believe that people want to simply do business and work with somebody that's not politicizing the internet.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I've been having to deal with, and a lot of you out there have heard me say this over and over again about what happened to me on YouTube, was one of my podcasts dealt with actually a Japanese activist who fights for freedom fighters in Hong Kong, like is basically somebody who supports our good friend Andy Chan. Her name is Yoko Ishii. And I was actually demonetized, not because of election, not because of anything else, but because I had a young lady on my show who was standing up for liberty and freedom and saying, you know, Andy Chan, who was former head of the National Party in Hong Kong, who was nominated basically for a Nobel Peace Prize because the Chinese were angry that I had her on. I got demonetized from a company. So it isn't just about like, it could be anything. It could be a foreign nation trying to demonetize you through one of the main CEOs or their relationship with one of these platforms here. How do you protect How do you protect those entities? Like when we think of the internet, does speak about it maybe in layman's terms. So if sarahcarter.com got deplatformed, right? By let's say Google.
Right.
Or something, just because they didn't like whatever politics I have. Would it still exist on the internet if somebody looked for it? If I was on your internet, if I was on
it
your
It certainly would still exist and be available and people could go to your website. And that's really where we're seeing the first influx of customers who are hosting websites that they're monetizing themselves. The next step from beyond that is that a competitor to YouTube, something like a Rumble, which already exists and is really popular, and affirms that they won't be demonetizing people, because that's a huge problem in and of itself. But that's where we're starting. It's just allowing people to recreate and build off of the backbone that's already distributed all across the country and available all across the country.
How awesome is that? I want you to listen to this. This is Governor Greg Abbott. I want to get your take on it. It's regarding big tech censorship and how it'll soon be illegal in Texas.
The United States of America was built on freedom of speech and healthy public debate. Big tech's efforts to silence conservative viewpoints is un-American, un-Texan, and it is unacceptable. And pretty soon, it's going to be against the law in the state of Texas.
Amen. I got to tell you, that's pretty awesome. I love Texas. Really, I was just there covering the border, and I love Governor Abbott. I love the people of Texas. They're just tough as nails, strong, and they're willing to stand up to big tech. And I think what's so surprising to me is that they're actually acting as publishers. Right. Mm-hmm, so how are they getting away with this? What are you hearing?
To that point, that's a policy discussion. And I know that a lot of people are working on that and really trying to protect the public square that a lot of sites actually are. But when they're getting into the game of actually censoring us or, editorializing us even. Right. So I wrote the article actually an op-ed with Congressman Stubbe out of Florida that it was on the Federalist. And I went to go post that on Twitter and or retweet actually from someone else. And it said, are you sure you want to retweet that? Because you haven't read it yet. And I'm like, I wrote the damn thing. But, that's a soft censorship, and we don't even know what's going on beyond when I actually post and whether or not it gets routed to my followers. That's an entirely shadow mechanic that really does turn them into a publishing platform and not so much a public square. And I think those are the types of things that policymakers are grappling with. And what is going on with these algorithms? How come, I can have a 100,000 person Facebook page that performed really well 5 to 10 years ago and now doesn't get any traction? What did you do? And that's not public, right?
I'm trying to figure that out. How does that happen? Because we've seen that before, even with my social media platforms, where we have 1.4, and then they, removed 200,000 followers for me when they did the big removal and everybody was losing followers. Now we have over 1.2 million on Twitter and then a really great Facebook. And then all of a sudden we realize there must be something going on with the algorithms, because we're not getting the traffic we did, or people aren't seeing it, or when they click on it, they can't get into the story. So is there anyone that can investigate that? I know we have some hearings coming up, but as a computer expert, as somebody who understands the internet, is there a way to even find out what these companies are doing, or is it so internal that it's almost impossible? I don't know.
It would actually be pretty much almost impossible unless they're going to open up the code. The amount.
So it's all based on code, right? And it's codes that you have to know.
And code that changes all the time and has changed all the time. So, those algorithms, they're tweaking, they may have control panels that influence those things. They certainly do. It's going to be a very, very tough nut to crack, especially from a legislative standpoint. But I know a lot of people are putting a lot of energy into these questions, because you're asking the right questions.
Right, right. Because I know it's difficult for congressional members. Sometimes I'll talk to people that are really tech savvy and they'll say, oh, you know where the, you know what the problem is that our congressional lawmakers, just like me, right? We're regular folks. We don't have expertise in the internet or in code. And so we're kind of, people are lost. They're like, well, what question can I ask? And unless they have a good advisor, they won't know what the follow-up questions are. So they could be easily tricked. Like, listen to this. This is Jack Dorsey. He's getting caught by Project Veritas. This is awesome. James O'Keefe.
Take time to do. Before retro, as I said in my note, it is going to take some time. And then the other thing, just to close out a little bit, we are focused on one account right now, but this is going to be much bigger than just one account. And it's going to go on for much longer than just this day, this week, the next few weeks. It's going to go on beyond the inauguration. We have to expect that. We have to be ready for that. So the focus is certainly on this account and how it ties to real world violence, but also we need to think much longer term around how these dynamics play out over time. I don't believe this is going away anytime soon. And the moves that we're making today around QAnon, for instance, is one such example of a much broader approach that we should be looking at. And going deeper on. So the team has a lot of work and a lot of focus on this particular issue. We also need to give them the space and the support to focus on the much bigger picture, because it is not going away. The U.S. is extremely divided. Our platform is showing that every single day. And our role is to protect the integrity of that conversation. And do what we can to make sure that no one is being harmed based off that. And that is the focus, and that is the color of our life.
Wow. I mean, just the fact that he felt it was his place to basically determine what people can listen to, what they can hear. And then it makes you wonder, who was he meeting with beyond just the people in his company, right? There had to have been lawmakers involved in this. I mean, it wasn't just about Jack Dorsey talking to his company. Somebody had to have called him up and said, we need you to put a stop to President Trump. We need you to put a stop to the people that support him. And now not only have they put a stop to that, right. I call him Che Guevara because I think he wants to be like the really cool, like Che Guevara type, like, you know, the Fidel Castro, Che Guevara in the mountains kind of the internet type of guy. But I also believe that beyond that, we've seen this is the platform for deplatforming everything. Right. Yeah. They felt they could get away with this. So now it's Dr. Seuss and then it's Mr. Potato Head and then it's the Bible. Yeah, I don't even know.
Look,
the Quran. They could.
I have a lot of respect for these guys. I've been in technology for 15, 20 years now, and first I started in my company when I was 16 years old. I think that the tools that they've built were changed the world, and in some cases, massively for the better. In most cases, massively for the better. You would have never had a President Donald Trump without these platforms, and that was allowed people to break through traditional standards of power and the establishment and giving people the voice. But the fact of the matter is these guys are totally out of their element because they have no idea how to put humanity back in the box. And that's what they're trying to do. And I have a ton of respect for them. Frankly, the founders of this country understood the actual problems and they fought a war over this to create a country that created the ability for us to have this leaps in human advancement. And these people don't understand that the code for this country comes out of the Bill of Rights. The fact that we gave people the ability to talk and have that discourse and could be protected for things that they're saying, these guys don't understand that. They don't understand that, or they're entirely afraid of it and they think that they can do better. And I don't believe that that's true at all.
It's almost as if they're like obsessed with the power that they have created for themselves and create. I mean, I think it was like you're saying, I believe that technology is awesome. I'm all about the future. I believe in science. I believe in understanding that science and making the world a better place.
I love space. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I love it too. I'm like, I want to see us travel to Mars. I want us to have the technology to do all these incredible things. That's what makes us human, right? Our ability to extend beyond ourselves and to see the world as an amazing place that we ourselves have helped create, right?
Absolutely.
But when I look at these guys and I think to myself, like, whoa, wait a minute. You actually, it kind of, I always joke around, it kind of reminds me of like Star Wars. You know, yeah. It's like, I always feel like they're Anakin, you know, like they're just like,
right.
I have to control everything. I have to, you know, the world doesn't understand how to take care of itself. I have to take care of the world, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just trusting that people make good choices and right decisions, usually. That's why we based our nation on freedom and liberty. Mm-hmm. So why can't we get them to just dial it back? I mean, have they just become too overblown with power? Are we going to be able to get back there? I mean, as the technology moves so far ahead that Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, all these guys, Sundar Pichai, you know, all of these names that we hear, are they going to be part of like kind of a shadow government that just basically controls what we're going to be narrating? I mean, is this a brave new world?
I think that they are. That's, you know, like we said earlier, the internet is everything now. It's you know, it's in your cars, it's in your barbecues, it's in your doorknobs. And these people are making political decisions and politicized decisions that are frankly completely not grounded in the framework of government and the economy that we thought we had. And so I think they're too far gone, frankly. I think that...
What can the American people do, Martin? What can they do?
I mean, I think that's why I argue that we need to essentially build our own tools and have our own infrastructure that reaffirms those ideas. And that's exactly what we're doing at RightForge. We see ourselves as the starting place. We're not saying that we're going to go out and build every single app and every single tool. That's not our plan. Our plan is to stand up the backbone to let other people do it in on top of us and facilitate and connect... just produce tools that produce the internet. That's what our job is.
Well, what can people do if they want to go to your platform? How do they do this? How do they get there? What can we do to make this happen?
RightForge.com, we can get your site moved over within a week. If you've got a website that you're concerned about, we have the capacity to do any size website immediately. And we're actually expanding our server infrastructure right now. So RightForge.com, we'd love to work with any company, any site of any size. We're talking to people who have church websites. Those are easy migrations for us. We're talking to people that have trucking companies and media platforms and all those sorts of things, shopping sites.
Right. How about Dr. Seuss books? How about Dr. Seuss books?
Exactly.
We're going to upload every book known to man before they burn it. I don't know. It's so crazy.
What a world that we live in where we have to actually build an online bookstore that does deliveries because Amazon decided that they don't want to do that anymore. So
they're stopping everyone. I mean, it's not just, this isn't just about Dr. Seuss. They're stopping great thinkers, philosophers. They are calling books, you know, they're censoring anything that the left, and I don't want to say liberal because I feel like we use that word just kind of haphazardly because I have friends who are Democrats who would have never gone for this.
No,
I have a great friend. He's an attorney. I brag about him all the time. He's on the show all the time. David Schoen. He actually supported the Democratic Party. He actually defended President Trump during that crazy secondary impeachment trial. But he's a big civil rights advocate, and he fought for. I mean, to the point where he actually defended the Ku Klux Klan. He's an Orthodox Jew. Right. But he believes that, you know, people have the right to free speech. And that's the only way through discourse, just like you said. So, I mean, these are really strange times, but you're right. Are people asking to maybe upload books onto your server? I mean, are people that concerned about it? I don't know.
People are talking about building out platforms that compete with the technology that is dominant in the market right now.
So like Amazon,
Amazon. So if Parler was built on our system, they would have only been shut out by the phones, right?
Right.
You know, that's what we're doing. That's how we're trying to help people and just deploy as many tools that make it easy as possible to interface with what we provide.
And any final last words for all of the families out there listening? There's so many Americans that, you know, they're feeling a little bit helpless right now. Like, how do we speak up? How do we do this without, you know, falling apart or becoming a target?
Don't give up hope. The internet, and just because they spend billions of dollars convincing you that they're the internet does not mean Google, Facebook, and Amazon are the internet. The internet is for us, giving us the ability to connect with each other via our computers. And there's apps that let you do that. There's a whole world outside of what big tech is. and you'll still be able to use an internet that's going to be rebuilt by companies like ours at RightForge. And the technology leaps that we've had actually make it easier to deploy these tools than it would have been 5 years ago. So there's open source applications, like there's all these things available for us to reassemble and reunite and rebuild. So don't give up hope.
Remember, it's not just a Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Sundar Pichai universe. There is a whole other universe, and Martin Avila is building it. That's just so awesome. It gives me hope in a great future. Thank you so much, Martin, for being on the Sarah Carter Show. I can't thank you enough.
For having us, Sarah.
I'm moving my website over to you too.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to do this.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to talk to you about this because I really think that we all need to do this if we want to protect ourselves and protect our freedom.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Mike created the new Giza Dream bed sheets. They're amazing. I use them. I love them. You will receive 2 for one low price plus free shipping. Call 1-800-685-7221. Use the promo code Carter. So Martin Avila, I mean, gave us a lot to think about. I mean, I know me, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, with censorship and with the ability for the internet to be like this, it's a universe in itself, but it's something that we're so reliant on. How are we going to be able to communicate with one another? And how are we going to be able to ensure that it'll be an open place of discourse without all of the crazy censoring and, I mean, this dystopia future that we're seeing evolve here in America as well as across the globe. Part of that, the reason I'm thinking about that is today is International Women's Day. I know you guys are thinking, what does it have to do with the internet and everything else? Well, it has a lot to do with our ability to get the truth, right? Our ability to speak and have a voice. And in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places that I've traveled, women do not have a voice. Sometimes it is the internet that allows some women to communicate with one another if they're lucky enough to have the technology. In Afghanistan, I used to remember thinking to myself, all the feminists in America, why aren't they standing up for these women who have absolutely no rights in Afghanistan, where the Taliban basically can do anything they want to them with impunity. I saw a young girl, I think you all remember that, in magazines, where she had her nose cut off and her ears, and, you know, she was humiliated and tortured, all because she wanted to marry somebody different or than what had been arranged for her. I've seen her horror stories in Afghanistan, where young girls have either disappeared. There's self-immolation, where young girls who are forced to marry older men will literally set themselves on fire so that nobody will touch them ever again if they survive. Our ability to be free and to have liberty is not just endemic to just women and women's rights, although women have faced an enormous amount of atrocities in the world. I mean, and still do today with human trafficking, sex trafficking, but we've also seen that with children, whether it's young boys or young girls, and our ability to have a voice, right? And to speak out. What does it mean to understand the plight of women in International Women's Day? What does it mean to stand up for somebody else's rights when it goes far beyond culture, by the way? I'm not being disrespectful. Some places in the world, even when I was a young girl, I remember living in Saudi Arabia, and women couldn't drive a car. They just could not drive. There's been women now that are fighting for the right to drive, and I think that there's been a move to do that, although I talk to people and it doesn't really happen in the kingdom because it's still an idea that the men aren't used to. But women didn't have a voice. And so if their husbands battered them, beat them, where would you go? To the police? The police wouldn't defend a woman. You know, there are a lot of things. I talk about human rights. human rights. Human rights. And those only exist when we have liberty and freedom, which is the reason why when somebody like Jack Dorsey believes he knows what's best for all of us, or Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, they don't know what's best for you and I. They don't. They have no business. They have no business monitoring, and the government as well, monitoring what we say to one another. I mean, this crazy talk too about, like, you know, who we are in the United States, and that, you know, those deplorables who support President Trump or supported an America First agenda are somehow dangerous. No, what's dangerous is the government spying on its citizens. What's dangerous is the expansion of powers and trying to control people. What's dangerous is not listening to people, right? Being the voice for the voiceless, that was what a reporter should do. That's what somebody should do when they're trying to tell their story. And I'm going to go back to, you know, the reason why International Women's Day is so important to me. And it's so important for me to tell you these stories, is because very few women had anyone speaking for them, and still do. Very few women have anyone speaking up for them. In a country like Afghanistan, you know, where do they go? Who would they turn to? Who's even going to pay attention? In a country, even up in, you know, the mountains of Sinjar, with the Yazidi women and what happened to them with the Islamic State, and how they were tortured and kidnapped and brutalized and raped. And even just down to the simplest tasks, like getting an education in Pakistan, right? Or in the United States, having someone listen to you to be your voice, stopping human trafficking. All of these things, these are things that we have to pay attention to. We can't just walk away and say, you know what? It's not my problem. I'm not involved in any of that. I don't know anything about human trafficking. Who cares what happens in Afghanistan? You know why it matters? It matters because eventually we will be the ones looking for someone's help. Look at what's happened in America now. We talked to Martin Avila. He's a young, ambitious, super smart guy who's doing this incredible thing, you know, trying to rebuild the backbone of the internet. Why? Because we don't have a voice. Because you and I are losing our ability to speak to one another in the United States of America. Remember what we said right at the beginning of that interview with Avila? It was like, did you ever think this would happen in the United States of America? And he was like, no, I didn't. I mean, I really didn't either. I didn't want to believe it was happening. And I want to believe that we together are smart enough and strong enough to overcome these obstacles. And we will be, as long as you and I aren't afraid to point out when something is wrong, to stand up and to speak up and to speak out. We have to defend each other. Freedom is not free, and it doesn't just exist here. Freedom is a human right. That is what I believe. It is a right for all women, all men, all children. It is a God-given right to be free, to be able to think for yourself, to not have somebody subjugate you and humiliate you and torture you and hurt you. And whenever you see it, you should speak out against it, all of you, because we are so blessed. For all of you who are listening to this podcast in America, we are so blessed to have a constitution and a bill of rights. And my gosh, we cannot lose that. And I'm going to go on. I want to talk really quick before I wrap this up. I'm so excited. You know how I'm excited about sci-fi, science, all of this stuff. Future, what would the world be like, you know, 100 years from now? And I obviously have some great guests like Luis Elizondo, who's my good friend, and others like Nick Pope, who talk about, like, the miraculous world of space exploration and whether or not we're alone in the universe. Elon Musk is one of those people that I love. I think he is amazing. I am always looking at his Twitter feed. I think he's a genius. And he's talking about this Starbase now. And I know it's Starbase, Texas. Actually, he wants to build a new community there. I'm going to read a little bit about this to you because I thought it was so incredible. Elon Musk's brain isn't like most people's. when he isn't content with how something works, he reinvents it, right? That's what we heard about on today's show. We're just reinventing the internet, right? Cars, rockets, and now cities. He is announcing this week that he plans a new town in South Texas called Starbase. The idea is to take over an unincorporated seaside village of Boca Chica, a kind of mini Texan Cape Canaveral, some 355 miles from Austin, where his SpaceX already has a massive rocket facility. It's all part of his mission to bring humans to Mars in this decade. Even if this week one of the prototype Starship rockets went up in flames, sorry about that, but that's what happens when you're experimenting, right? You learn from your mistakes. During a test flight, they are going to build this place, this Starbase in Texas, this new type of town. I'm all about it. I think it's pretty awesome. He's also talking about, this is crazy, he may invent this thing. It's called Neuralink, which it aims to use implanted brain chips to improve the human body and help us compete with artificial intelligence. I'm going to tell you why brain chips and Neuralink is awesome. My husband, you know, is blind. I talked about that before. He was blinded in Afghanistan. He has not seen anything at all in like 11 years. But there's a lot of research about building these and a lot of work being done to build chips that allow you to bypass the optical nerve in the brain. So you can process sight, and we all process in the back of our brain, the occipital. That's where we process our sight. So I don't know, maybe one day he'll get to see his daughter for the first time and see his children again. We shouldn't fear technology. What we should do is, and this is what I say all the time, we should do is have our principles in place and live by a moral code that allows us to live alongside these technologies and advance humankind. That's what we want to do. And we want to do it by being as free and as possible, a society that respects one another's ideas and wishes, whether we agree with them or not. We can always find a place for discourse and understanding. And that's what's important. And that's what I hope we brought you here today on the Sarah Carter Show. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Again, go wherever you download your podcast, whether that's Apple, Spotify, Spreaker. Get download the podcast, leave us a review. I read all of them. I go through as many as I can. All of them, maybe I'm pushing it, but I read almost all of them. And I'm on Twitter constantly reading your comments and trying to figure out like what are some of the new stories we can bring you here at the Sarah Carter Podcast. And also go to my website, sarahacarter.com. Sign up for that email so you will not get censored. Martin Avila, he's signing up for that email. I know he is. He wants to hear from me at least once or twice a week. And why not move sarahacarter.com to his backbone? This way, in case anything ever happens on Google, I know I'll still exist. Thanks again for joining the Sarah Carter Show. We're taking the story back.
Hi, it's Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. Every day, I'm here to keep you up to speed on the most important stories and info that you need to know in your very busy life. And if you're always on the go and you want to stay connected, just download our daily podcast and take it with you. It's a great way to get up to speed on what you need to know and what legacy media may not be telling you. Visit danaradio.com and click on the podcast link or subscribe at iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day.
ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/RADIO radio and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.